The following program is rated M16+, parental guidance recommended. It contains strong theme topics, drug use, alcohol use, violence and self-harm.
Welcome to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events and you're listening in on DRN1. Today we have a really special edition of Bounce Back. We're supporting WA Mental Health Week. We acknowledge that the conversations can be life-changing. And sharing now is comedian Marion Johns, who joined us episode 19 with our Deadly Funny Show. She's joining us via phone as she's in Albany. Welcome, Marion.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you so much for joining me today.
No worries.
Marion, I know that this is a very personal journey for you, and I want to say thank you so much for being willing to share your story. Did you want to open up and you know, tell us about what happened and led you to becoming a comedian as well?
Well, first of all, I'm really excited to be a part of this episode because it's quite personal to me, and I've tried to speak out about not specifically this subject, but, you know, a bit of mental health and loving yourself and loving life.
Yeah.
But also I've been a part of a Albany community suicide, you know, outreach program. I did emceeing for it. My father committed suicide back in 2015.
I'm so sorry. And it was
It was a shock. Sudden deaths are always a shock, but when someone takes their own life, there's even more shock. There's the whys and what ifs, and I just want to make clear that you cannot waste your life wondering those what ifs and whys and if only, because you'll never find the answers. They've taken them with them. So I think it's really important to speak out about it more than ever, because the suicide rates are huge. And in the past it's been thought not to speak out about suicide because it may put ideas in people's heads. But I've been a part of an awareness program here in Albany, and also as a, you know, a surviving family member of someone who's committed suicide. And it's proven that's not the case. It won't put ideas in people's heads. And it's also gives support to those who have lost someone and that they're not alone, and also that maybe anyone in that headspace can have a better grasp of what they're going through and what they will be leaving behind as well. So my father committed suicide in 2015, and that's begun a downward spiral for me. I self-medicated with alcohol, and my family members did tell me that I was being a bit of a downer, which did trigger me to finally go and get some help from a psychologist. And I think there's a stigma around psychologists as well as talking about suicide that, you know, how can they help me? But I got help and talked about it and talked about how to deal with it, past trauma.
Yeah. How did you overcome that part? But, you know, obviously someone that loved you came to you and said, I'm worried about you. How did you receive that message?
Well, when you're in depression, you don't realise you are in depression. So when I was approached on a serious note to say, well, you're being a bit of a downer, I dealt with it by sitting there and reflecting and thinking, am I? And then they did say to me, you have been through a lot. It is a lot to deal with. So whether I thought the psychologist was going to help me or not, I went in to go see a GP. I then knew I was struggling, because in the GP office I just broke down in tears and was like, oh, help me. And that got me the referral to the psychologist.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So you were really proactive in that once someone had pointed out to you. Do you feel like you needed someone to come to you, or were you already feeling?
I feel feel like I'm a strong person already. Yeah. So I thought I didn't need anything or anyone. You know, I can get through this on my own. But I, because I'm my father's oldest child, I had the responsibility of organizing the funeral, and then the funeral didn't go right, and there was so many blunders through it, and I was like, that just devastated me even more. Turns out I am strong, just sometimes even strong people need a little bit of prepping up.
Yeah, definitely.
With some professional help.
So true. One of the, I think, hardest things is being silent when you are feeling depressed. And you know how you spoke about that stigma of not talking. There's nothing empowering about being silent. You know, when you step out and you speak to people about stuff, or there's empowerment in that, because people will rally around you, people will talk you through things, and then it opens you up to different channels of support, help, and different places like Beyond Blue and Headspace, Lifeline, all of those great places. Or like in your journey, you've seen a psychologist, and that's amazing that you were proactive.
Yeah, I'm so glad that I, you know, realised that I may be strong, but right now I'm struggling. I'm so glad that I took on the advice and was proactive. Yeah. Because it's made all of the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And so with your journey, you said that you were, I guess, helping yourself with alcohol at the time. And then you acknowledged that that obviously wasn't a healthy, mentally healthy choice either. And so then you seen the psychologist, and how did you end up getting into comedy from there?
So talking to my psychologist, I did mention this in the last show, the deadly, but I was dealing with my problems by drinking, binge drinking, and I was becoming the person without all those problems. And my psychologist asked me, like, who is your hero? Who do you want to be like? Who has their life together and all that stuff? And it took me about 3 seconds to say drunk Marianne. She doesn't care about all that stuff. And, you know, so he just simply said, do more things that drunk Marianne would do without alcohol.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's how I got into comedy. But also I did more things like dealing with my emotions without alcohol and that sort of things. But it that was the major stepping stone into getting into comedy. And I think that a lot of people who are in stand-up comedy, you know, I might be wrong, don't shoot me down, but a lot of people in comedy have gone through a lot of trauma in their lives. And comedy is I know that I'm a person who deals with trauma by using comedy. Or awkwardness, or, you know, I'll crack a joke so that it's no longer awkward.
Yeah.
And it's someone said to me one time, you're only a comedian because you're hiding your trauma.
Wow, really?
And I said, well, I do have trauma, yes, but I've dealt with it. And now this is why I've become a comedian.
Yeah.
It's like the biggest push to become a comedian. Also get the awareness out there.
Definitely.
Because my shows have a lot to do with being you.
Yeah. How do you remember your dad then? Is there something that you do to pay tribute to him?
Well, Father's Day just went. That was a bit of a hard one. Truth be told, I still have a little bit of issues with it. I don't visit his grave or anything like that at the moment.
Yeah.
I just think talking about him and his good stuff. He was a very strong man, very strong, which is why he had a lot of trauma in his childhood. So obviously he wasn't as strong as we thought he was in that capacity.
Yeah.
So we pay tribute to him just by saying the fun stories and the good stuff. Yeah, I think that's nice.
And in any situation when you lose someone, it is normal to have that grief wash over you throughout life, basically. It's going to come in waves and it's going to come and you've just got to allow it and then let it come through you and wash away again, you know, and just feel it, you know. It's sad. And someone that's so vital to your childhood and adult, you know, your whole being. So, I can't imagine what you've been through. But you've obviously come out the other side and had a journey that has made you very proactive. And you said that you do some speaking now surrounding mental health as well, don't you?
Yeah, so I did a candlelit vigil for suicide awareness, which is a yearly occurrence on Are You Okay Day.
Mm.
And just to, I don't know, talk about my experience, and I was the MC, but I also had the opportunity to talk about my experience, and I had a lot of people after the event come up and say thank you for getting, like, to know that I'm not alone and feeling those things as well.
Yeah.
So my main message was during that night was let the emotions go through it, but don't spend the rest of your life asking yourself what if and if only and why.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really important to know that. How is the rest of your family coping with the situation? Because 5 years is still very fresh in my mind. It's one of those things that I think you head into a fog when you lose someone very close to you.
Yeah, I've got two brothers and they're younger than me. They have not been proactive in the way I have.
Mm.
Because there's that stigma about men being strong as well, so they don't talk about it because they're men, so they shouldn't, which is not true.
Mm.
They do struggle in their lives a lot, and I mean, we've tried the thing how someone said to me, but it's a little bit hard to get through to men, I think. For my brother's case, because they're quite strong men like my dad. So,
so they're just sort of dealing with it in their own ways. And so if they're listening, shout out to them. Marion loves you and she wants to see the best of you. And say if anyone else is going through this sort of situation, I guess even if you want to focus on men, what would your message be to them?
My main message is that don't get stuck on the whys, what ifs, if only, oh, I wish I didn't do that, I wish I, because you cannot turn back time. That's the one thing we can't do. And the only thing you can do is move forward and either continue their legacy or continue yours.
Mm.
Are You Okay Day is amazing, but it doesn't give you the next step. After asking someone if they're okay. The Albany Suicide Prevention have made a new step. It's called the ACE, which is enlist. And I can't remember, but it's something to do with encourage or, something along those lines of the next step, which is offer your help, a friend, a psychologist.
If you're like offering to find the support that person needs, because maybe they don't have that tool set to go, okay, I've been proactive in having this conversation with you, but me making a phone call.
That's it.
Yeah,
enlist. There you go. That helped. Communicate, enlist. There it is.
So it's, that's, I actually like that as well. So that's under ask, is it?
It's under the Albany Suicide Prevention Agency, but the acronym for it is ACE.
ACE, is it? Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
So are you okay is still vital, but we also need the what do we do now that they've said they're not okay, or if they haven't said that, you know, they've said I'm okay, but they still aren't okay.
And it is, and I guess it's a thing that sometimes if you're asking someone, are they okay, it's more than just, you know, waiting for that, oh, yeah, I'm fine. It's, you know, having that space and being able to sit there with them and listen.
I mean, you can ask someone, what are you doing? And the answer will always be 99.9% of the time, nothing. They could be at Adventure World.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, nothing. That's what I feel like is the answer for are you okay?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, good. I'm good.
Yeah.
And then, I guess that's the thing, allowing that space, being present as well. It's not a flippant answer or a flippant question. It's a big question sometimes, and sometimes you just have to sit with that and sit in that space, hold space with someone. And then, like I said, and being proactive with trying to facilitate assistance and support, and maybe that is just looking up one of the agencies that are available or helping them to book a GP appointment where they can get, you know, a referral to a psychologist. Sometimes it's a bit more urgent than that. So sometimes you do need to, you know, call the crisis centres where you can call Lifeline and they definitely can help you instantly. So,
yeah. And then, I mean, this is like hard to hear, but sometimes there is nothing anyone else can do. And that person in that headspace won't make it apparent and, you know, and take it on themselves to do it without anyone around, so they can't be stopped. And that's tragic.
Yeah.
But you have to remember, as a survivor of someone who's committed suicide, that is out of your control.
How did you come to terms with that, Marion?
Just remembering what I can and can't control. Just changing what I can control, the past I can't control, no matter what I did. My dad did it in secret, so there was no going to be stopping him, no matter how much we were all there, because we had lots of contact and we were always seeing him, so it was a shock to us.
Yeah.
So my dad had mental health issues. He had a head injury.
Yep.
And so he was dealing with that not being his normal self. You know, he was still the same on the inside, but he couldn't communicate the same. And so that's why he was struggling.
Yeah. And that's pretty full on, isn't it? Like, to obviously, I'm maybe taking on a dad's perspective here, to know that things just aren't the same. That's hard for people to cope with as well, and to know and acknowledge that something's not the same. And then for the people that have had to go through changes like that, it is a grieving process as well, and knowing that through that grief, with help, you can get through it as well.
Well, I likened it to having my head to having other people with, like, looking like somebody that they're not. Like, they look like them on the inside, but on the outside they have a different appearance. So when I shaved my head, I no longer looked like me. And when I went to the shopping centres and stuff like that, I liked to be chatty with other people. That wasn't happening.
Wow.
I was being shunned because I looked like weird with a bald head.
Yeah.
But I was still me on the inside.
And Marion, you are a really bubbly sort of personality, and I can imagine you being smiley and happy around people, and I imagine you still were doing that when you had a shaved head. Was the response from people around you different, although you were still making those sort of gestures and eye contact and smiles at them?
Yes, it was completely different. I was gobsmacked.
Yeah.
I knew straight away it was because I was a woman walking around with a bald head, but I also came to the realization that people with bald heads voluntarily who go bald don't like human contact or human communication. They like to be left alone.
Hmm.
And that's not what I like, even though I love the experience of shaving my head.
Yeah.
That's not what I liked. And then I relate that to my dad's story of he had a head injury. He was still him on the inside. He just had problems communicating, how he couldn't talk like normal anymore.
Yeah.
But he was still him on the inside. No one could see that he was still him on the inside.
Yeah, and that would have been very confronting. What? How did your dad actually get his head injury?
Someone hit him on the head with a bat.
Oh, that's terrible. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. And wow, I'm sorry to hear that. That's very confronting hearing that, actually. I really feel for your dad actually mentally being of sound mind and knowing that he was the same person, like you've said, on the inside, but physically knowing that he just couldn't get out, you know, you said his words, and obviously other things were a little bit impaired afterwards.
Yes, and everyone mollycoddled him after, and he doesn't like to be mollycoddled. He was still the same person on the inside, and which made him really down. So,
yeah. I
just really love shaving my head and getting that perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if I didn't shave my head, I wouldn't have saw what it was like, even with other people, like disabled people who really are of sound mind, but their body just doesn't work right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved that perspective.
So it was quite enlightening for you then.
Yes, I'm so glad that I decided to be impulsive.
Yeah.
Yes.
No regrets.
no regrets.
No. Yeah. No, thank you so much for sharing that, Marion. You mentioned ACE before. Can you give them a bit of a plug? Because I think it's really important that regionally people know that there are facilities out there that you can go to assist with mental health stuff.
Yeah, so that was through the Albany Great Southern Mental Health. And you could look online for the acronym ACE, mm-hmm. Ask, Communicate and Enlist. And yeah. They're trying to push that through to a more wider audience as well, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, definitely. If you need to overcome negative thoughts or emotional pain, seek help from Beyond Blue, Headspace, Lifeline or Kids Helpline. And if you have experienced any physical change, know that there is a grieving period, please get some support and be patient with yourself and your new circumstance. Thank you, Marion, so much for joining us today, and thanks for everyone for listening in. You're listening to Bounce Back, and my name's Yvonne Fletcher.